Good morning to everyone. Everybody's got their Bible now. Let's turn to Ruth, the chapter 2. Ruth, chapter 2. We have been considering various likenesses that are to be found in the life, the words, the works of this man Boaz to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is what we call a type of the Lord Jesus. That is, a picture of the Lord Jesus. We thought on Tuesday, or began to think about, the fact that Boaz was informed about Ruth. He knew about her. We noted very clearly that Ruth didn't know who he was. She would have known he owned the fields, etc., etc., etc. But she didn't know that he was the one person in the land who, under God, was obligated by the law to help her and her mother-in-law. He was the one that we call, or Scripture calls, the kinsman redeemer, the family redeemer, to whom you could look if you came upon hard time. He was obligated to help you. He was obligated to help you. But Ruth didn't know this. I just wonder if she, as a Moabite, would have even known that there was such a provision made under the law of God, because the law was made known only to Israel. She may have been taught about it, or she may not. I have no doubt she was instructed in the law by Naomi, and it was thus that Ruth was converted. She came to faith in the Lord of glory, faith in the God of Israel. But whether she knew that particular point of the law or not, I don't know. But it's clear that while Boaz had an understanding of who Ruth was, Ruth didn't really fully understand who Boaz was. If you look down to the end of the chapter 2, it's in the chapter 2 of Ruth that we are presently looking, and her mother-in-law, when she comes home from working all day, asks her the question in verse 19, "Where hast thou gleaned today?" Gleaning was basically gathering up the scraps that were lying about the harvest fields, the little handfuls of straw that had been overlooked or had been dropped by the reapers. The law of God permitted the poor to come along and gather these up. Indeed, the law forbade the owner of the field to go round and collect all these scraps. Rather, the owner was directed by God to leave them there for the poor. It's called gleaning. So, that's what Ruth had been doing. That shows how poor Ruth and Naomi were, how reduced they were in their circumstances, that was the only means of income that they had. So, "Where have you been gleaning today?" says Naomi. And halfway through the verse, it says Ruth showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought, and said, "The man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz." Now, that indicates that she did know something about Boaz. She knew his name. She knew his name. But she did not know that he was the one appointed of God to help her and her mother-in-law. He was the family redeemer, the kinsman redeemer. That's who he was. But she didn't know that. Listen to me, boys and girls. There's a vital lesson there. Every morning we sing hymns in which we sing the name of the Lord Jesus. We sing the name of the Lord Jesus. And every one of you here, sing that name. You sing that name. And you're very familiar with the name of Jesus. You're very familiar with that name. But are you like Ruth? You only know the name. You don't know him as your kinsman redeemer. You only know his name. You don't know him as your Savior. Is it possible? Is that how it is with you? Oh, how familiar you are with the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't know Him as your Savior. You can answer questions about Him. You can tell of His birth in Bethlehem, of His life and His miracles. You could even tell us many of the things that He said. You could tell us how He died at Calvary and how He rose again the third day. But you don't know Him as your Savior. There's a picture here that we should take note of. And it may well be a picture of you. Oh, it's not enough to know His name, boys and girls. It's not enough to reverence His name, to speak well of Him. That's not enough. You need faith. You need to have embraced Him as your Savior. I mentioned on Tuesday the incident on the road to Damascus when Saul of Tarsus was saved. And there we saw the Lord appearing to Saul and speaking to him by name. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And the response of Saul was, Who art thou, Lord? The Lord knew him, but he didn't know the Lord. But that day the Lord made himself known to Saul of Tarsus. He said, I am Jesus. Now, Saul of Tarsus knew the name of Jesus. He was going about the countryside opposing anybody who believed in the name of Jesus, who preached the name of Jesus. So he knew the name of Jesus, but he did not know Jesus until that moment. When the Lord revealed himself to Saul, made himself known to Saul, and Saul from that moment knew Jesus Christ as his Savior. That's what you need. That's what you need. You need that experience. Don't be content with just knowing something about his name, something about his life. But you must know him. There's a scene given us by the Savior, a scene of judgment when there will be gathered before him all those who would claim to be Christians. And amongst them there will be many to whom he will say, Depart from me, I never knew you. And they will say, But we know who you are. We've done the things in your name. But the Savior said, I never knew you. And it brings home to us that in this world, among the Christians of this world, in every age, there have been those, and there are those, who think they're on their way to heaven because they know the name and something about the person of the Lord Jesus, but they don't know him. Oh, be sure about this matter today. Be sure about this matter today. His name is Boaz, says Ruth. His name is Boaz. But she didn't know that he was the kinsman redeemer, the one who held, as it were, in his hands the answer to all the needs of Ruth and Naomi. Now, I've been trying to emphasize the knowledge that the Lord Jesus has of us, because while just this morning underlining the fact that Ruth didn't really know who Boaz was, Boaz knew all about her. Remember what we read in the verse 11 of chapter 2? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It hath been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. The Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Boaz was fully informed about Ruth. It's true, earlier in the chapter, when he came into the field, he said, Who is that damsel? He didn't know her by sight, but as soon as he heard who she was, he said, Oh yes, I've heard all about her. I've heard all about her. So we had a lot of information regarding Ruth, and it highlights the fact that the Lord Jesus from all eternity has known about us. He's known about us. I said on Tuesday, quoting just at the end of our study, John chapter 10 and the verse 3, where it speaks of the Lord Jesus and it says, He calleth His own sheep by name. It's a most remarkable thing that the Lord Jesus knows the name of all His people. Most remarkable. I said to you that your name was known to Him from all eternity. You know, in my lifetime, I have met young people who didn't like their name. Oh, I wish I was called such and such and such and such. It's usually a silly person who says that, who shows their silliness by wanting to be called a silly name after some old pop star or film star or something daft like that. And they're not content with the name that they were given. But you know, one day we'll understand the mystery of it all, why we have the name we have. Because I believe that before God there's something significant in the name given to each one of us. And God knows that name, your name. He knows your name. And He has known it from all eternity. You remember on the road to Damascus, Saul, Saul? The Savior didn't have to say to him, oh, by the way, what's your name? No, he knew, had known him, his eye was upon him. Let me read you another verse that shows this to be so. It's found, well, it's a couple of verses actually, John chapter 1. Look it up, please, you older ones. John chapter 1, the verse 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith of him, Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael saith unto him, Whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, Before Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And if you read some verses before those two verses, you will read of a little conversation between Philip and Nathanael, in which they were discussing the possibility of the Lord Jesus being the Redeemer, and Nathanael sort of dismissed the idea. And the Lord knew all about it. It wasn't as if he was just standing a few yards away and overhearing what was taking place. No, no, no. He was out of sight, but he knew. And Nathanael's somewhat surprised. How do you know me? He says. And the Savior, in answer, says, When thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. He knew all about that little incident, and that serves to underscore. And here, each one of you take note, that the Lord's eye is upon us. He sees us at all times. He hears us at all times. Now, very often, we're not conscious of the presence of the Lord and His watching us. Listen to the words of Job, in Job chapter 23, and the verses 8 to 10. Behold, I go forward, but He is not there. Now this is Job searching, looking for the Lord. And backward, but I cannot perceive Him. On the left hand, where He doth work, but I cannot behold Him. He hideth Himself on the right hand, that I cannot see Him. You see, man by searching cannot find God. Men think they can. Indeed, many of them depend upon finding Him for their salvation. And they go about their religious activities in order to find God. They'll discover, like Job, you can't find Him by your own efforts. But on the other hand, as Job concludes that verse, he says, But He knoweth the way that I take. I can't see Him. I can't find Him. I can't behold Him, but He knoweth my way. He sees me. Oh, never forget that, boys and girls. Never forget this truth, that though you may not be aware of the presence of the Lord, He sees you. He sees you. Indeed, the Lord knows all about us. Let's just close with these words in Psalm 139, verse 1. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. And then the psalmist begins to describe just how much God knows about him. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compasseth my path. Thou embraceth my path. You know all about it. And my lying down. And art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue. But lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too high, too marvelous. It's beyond me that God should know all these things about me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. I can't take it in. Oh, boys and girls, we have in the fact that Boaz knew about Ruth before Ruth knew Boaz. A wonderful picture of the glorious knowledge of Christ concerning his people. He looks down upon us here. He doesn't see you as I see you. I recognize your faces. Your names come to my mind, but I can't see what's in your heart. I can't see what's in your mind. I can't see what you're thinking about right now. But he can. He can. Oh, that's a humbling, humbling thought. A sobering thought. May we live in the light of this truth today and every day. Let's just bow in prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, what a wonderful Saviour thou art. How good it is to know that thou knowest all about us. When we come to thee, Lord, seeking help, thou art not like the doctor who must have us tell him all about our troubles, or he can't help us. But Lord, thou knowest all about our troubles, even when we can't understand them and could never explain them. Jesus knows all about them, and we have but to ask for his help, and he will grant it to us. Speak to the boys and girls today. Make them to think upon thy word, I pray. Bless the school and those who have been prayed for earlier who need your touch. God have mercy upon them, I ask. Bless the teachers and the pupils. Prosper the ways of the school today. We ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.